join the Church Universal in our celebration of the Solemnity of Pentecost, the birthday of the Church, and our celebration of the descent of the Holy Spirit from the Apostles gathered in the upper room. We are first reminded that Pentecost was not primarily, in its beginnings, a Christian feast. The Solemnity of Pentecost is actually a Jewish feast, and it began really as a feast of thanksgiving for the spring crop. And so it's appropriate that God chose Pentecost, the Jewish feast of Pentecost, to be the backdrop for our celebration of the first feast, if you will, of the first harvest of the church, the 3,000 converts made by St. Peter in his first sermon from the Acts of the Apostles. This is a particularly favorite solemnity of mine, insofar as there's not really a lot written about the Holy Spirit in theology. It's very hard to write about the Holy Spirit. It's in fact very difficult to even see the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be seen. He's sort of the unseen mover. In fact, you know, at times I have to disavow children that begin to think after a while, having seen so much religious work, artwork, that the Holy Spirit really isn't a dove. He's not really a bird. People begin to think after a while, oh, the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm looking for the bird, right? And, you know, we only use that the dove as a symbol of hope, as a way of giving some incarnational value to something that is essentially spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, it's sort of like angels. Angels don't have bodies. They're pure spirits, they're pure intellects, in fact. So, of course, we give angels and artwork bodies, right? We make them little fat babies called cherubs, right? Or we make these really hulking Adonis-looking like characters with, you know, just whipped muscles and throwing Satan into the depths of the netherworld. And we have to do that because, well, we don't have to, but we have to do that in artwork because you were to receive a benefit from a patron of the arts to paint an angel. You would have to hand him back an empty canvas. I can say, well, here you go. Right, but that doesn't really get you a lot of money in the market. So Father DiMartino jokes, he's been telling me that he thinks that this pedestal out here behind the church is empty. There's a pedestal outside with nothing on it. He says, that's our memorial to the guardian angel. She naturally is there. So the Spirit is unseen. Really the most underrated, I think, most of the persons of the Trinity. In fact, sometimes we are not even aware of his presence in our lives. But let me just perhaps point out just a few instances where the Holy Spirit is alive and well and at work. Right? If you think about, for example, a teenager who's really committed to being chaste, right? And they want to wait till they're married. And in spite of the fact that they live in a culture that is completely oversexed, right, that is the Holy Spirit working in that child's life, right, teaching them to be not countercultural for its own sake, but because they recognize a value which has been placed in their heart by God, right, not because this gift of marital, of conjugal love, husband and wife is a bad thing, but because it has this particular honored and treasured place where it needs to be used. Or let's say you have young parents, just newly married, and they're struggling along, and they've already had a baby, but there's a temptation to contracept. But they say, no, okay, we'll place our trust in God. We'll be open, right? And He will bless us according to where we need to be at this point in our lives. There's the Holy Spirit. When a priest preaches in a particular way, and his preaching moves someone in the pews back to the sacrament of penance after many, many years away, the Holy Spirit is working in different ways, one through the priest, but also in the heart of the penitent. Every Easter time during Holy Week, when we welcome new converts to the Catholic faith this past Easter 30, that's nearly 40. Right? Each of these individuals had a story to tell. They're all of those converts to the faith. You can see when you talk to them the working of the Holy Spirit moving them. When you have Catholic politicians who actually live to the demands of the gospel and actually adjudicate and legislate with a Catholic mind, right, from the legislature, from the bench, there's the Holy Spirit alive and well. Every time any of the sacraments are celebrated, any of them, the Holy Spirit is the necessary agent to make the sacrament come alive with its real divine power. So important is the invocation of the Holy Spirit that the last prayer that the priest prays at Mass before consecrating the bread and wine into the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ is this action where he puts his hands over the bread and the wine unconsecrated like this. It's called the epikrisis in Greek. It's literally an invocation of God down upon these gifts that they will be transformed into Christ himself. So you can see, I mean, there are many, many more examples we could use of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that each of us here could probably cite times in our minds where it was very evident that, you know, it was God's work at work really in our particular life circumstances. Even, for example, life decisions we've made, perhaps at the time, not so clear as to what God was trying to work out, but the people that came across our path in a particular time of life, or the particular office I was working in, or the persons that I moved next to, wherever I happened to be. I mean, we're really cognizant and sensitive and aware where the Holy Spirit might be working. You'll notice he never takes a vacation day. He's always at work. So, what is our part in all of this on a very practical level? The largest, single, biggest outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our lives when it began for most of us was at baptism. In fact, a great saint of the last century once said that the greatest crisis facing the church today is a lack of actualizing our baptismal dignity. He said the biggest crisis in the church today is a lack of actualizing our baptismal dignity. What does he mean by that? Each of us, when we were baptized, we received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we also received three virtues called faith, hope, and love. To believe in God and trust in him and to love him as he deserves, as we ought. Okay? By his assistance. These seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are confirmed or sealed in a person's soul at the sacrament of confirmation. When you come forward to be confirmed, for those of you who are recently confirmed, remember this, the bishop or father does not say, receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says, be sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which means you already have them. He's just confirming, harmonizing, if you will, making permanent what is already in your soul. But this saint said that the problem that we often face is we don't even know what these gifts are in our soul. We already have them within. It's not as if they had to be acquired from outside. They were given to us freely as a gift. Our task as believers is to actualize our potential. You know, when people talk about actualizing their God-given talents, you know, when they say, you know, I'm a very good, let's say, baseball player. Well, you know, you look at the baseball player and you say, well, he's not just well-coached. He has a lot of natural skills. Once in a while, a commentator might be watching him and say, you know, he has a lot of God-given talent. You can't teach that. You either have it or you don't. You see, my friends, by baptism, we have all of this stuff. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, piety. But I bet you'd be hard pressed if, even in our parish, of all the people who go to Mass every Sunday, what percentage of us could name those off the top of our head, let alone describe what each one is. Yet that's actually the linchpin of what it means to be living a life in the Spirit. And you can't live a life in the Spirit unless you at least grasp at some basic level what it is the Spirit is trying to actualize in you. So I invite you, if you've never done this before, this is your homework assignment for this week, I suppose, we're still in school, is go home and go to any number of websites that present the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Any of you who've had that child baptized in this parish, since Father DiMartino and I have arrived, get this little cheat sheet that I give to everyone, to all the parents. And I say, when your child is baptized, they're getting these seven gifts. Keep this posted on your fridge and check every so often. What am I doing as a parent to cultivate these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, not only in my children, but in myself? Where do I still need work? And really, you begin to understand the science of God working in our souls, then we'll begin to experience the fruitfulness that the Spirit really brings. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, explicitly lists 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit that are the result of actualizing the gifts that we have within. And I would like to suggest, finally, that each of us are all sleeping giants. If we only knew what we were capable of, if we fully actualized the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we would all be giants in terms of saints. We would. And I don't mean, pious people who are just kind of timid. That's not what I mean by saintliness. Fully human. Fully alive. Fully open to all that God has and wants to give to us. So I invite you to really look these up. Maybe take one each week and just keep on rotating them through the weeks as you go along during the summer. And just trying to work on each one, just learning a little bit more about it and praying to the Holy Spirit to be enlightened and enlivened by Him, who we already know from the examples that I presented earlier in this homily, can do so much. He can do everything. Nothing is impossible for God. Finally, let us pray to the Holy Spirit for this light, for this inspiration. Come, Holy Spirit, to the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by that same Spirit to be truly wise and to ever rejoice in His consolation. The same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, produce our Lord Jesus Christ in your womb and conceive without sin. Pray for us who have recourse to you.